Steve and Justin use Y-Charts for their winning investment research. So start your free trial now. And if you purchase, mention InvestTalk and get a generous discount at YCharts.com.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for joining me today on Invest Talk. It is Thursday. Well, the dust has settled about the midterm elections. That's all done. The market has reacted in line with most expectations, which means, do you remember, I've told you before, the market likes gridlock in Washington. Always does. Always has. Likes gridlock in Washington. They don't like change. Market doesn't like change. I'm Steve Peasley, and welcome to the show. This is Invest Talk. It's a weekday financial program, and we only have one clear objective, and that's to help you grow and protect your money, your assets, your investments. And of course, we welcome your phone calls and questions at 888-99-CHART. You can call anytime you want. You can call right now, 888-992-4278. So look at the calendar, everybody. Love Thanksgiving. And there was lots of interesting articles are. Interesting market news today. Tesla will have a new leader, a woman who began as a trained Arthur Andersen auditor, so she knows balance sheets, and she will be able to control Elon Musk, right? She'll be able to do that. I don't think so. In her 4 years on the Tesla board, she hasn't been able to tap down Musk's behaviors yet. So what makes you think she's going to be able to do that? She's not. She's probably not going to try. Tesla has now surpassed the market valuation of BMW, by the way, in case you're interested. Okay, I have a question that may appeal to everybody, all investors. If you invested $1,000 in Apple at its IPO price, and let it ride, just let it rode all these years, just let it go. How much Apple wealth, how much would that $1,000 turn into today? How much would it be worth today? What do you think? Got a guess? $1,000, just $1,000, everybody. That's all I'm suggesting. Okay? Now, before we get to that, let's make time for a caller question. You know that drives the show. You know our number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Junior in Indianapolis. My question's a general one. Recently, you've been a bit concerned that the VIX numbers have indicated that the market hasn't bottomed out yet. At this point, following midterms and the typical year-end rally, does this concern still hold over the short term, say, the next 6 months? Thanks a lot, and thanks for the great show, gents. Bye-bye.
I'm going to say no. I can see the VIX spiking again, but I'm going to say no. It didn't get to the point where I felt comfortable. I thought we still had a little bit more to go on the downside, and we still may. But I'm now that the election's passed, I'm much more. I'm more convinced than probably Justin is that I think we're in for a rally. How big a rally? Oh, I'm not. Maybe 10% into end of the year, into the next year, 10% from the bottom, and we've already made 3%, 4%. I don't know how much from the bottom. So maybe 6% more. Because the market never reacts the same way all the time. It always fools you, always. So you can only I would have liked to have seen more panic in the market. That would have made me feel a lot more comfortable. Calling for the next rally. So now I'm calling for a rally, but I'm not as comfortable because there wasn't enough panic in the market. We'll see. Maybe by next week we'll have a better idea if we're going to be retesting our lows or we're done with the correction and we're on our way for an end-of-year rally. I know the odds are very high that we will get into a rally, so it may be done. the rally may be done. If you read my newsletter, I said that a couple of weeks ago, there may be a time to tip your toe back in the market. I'm not so sure. I still feel comfortable with saying that. I do. But I'm not convinced the market. It's right at some crucial. If you're a chartist, someone who looks at charts and decides where things are going to go, the S&P 500, which represents 80% of the market, is right at that area where you say, okay, we're now it's risen to a point where it's probably going to continue to rise. But to get to this point, it's been on low volume. Even though we had some big days, yesterday's day was, you know, a little bit normal than volume, but not very high. So I'm still not convinced that we're clear and free. But I think you got to play the odds you step into the market. Okay. So at a press conference in San Francisco, a week ago, Apple came out with its new products, right? MacBook Air, 2 iPod Pros. And it's too early yet to tell whether those in products are going to be big sellers or not. One thing is clear, though. If you had bet on Apple in its early days, you would have paid off big time. There's a story on CNBC. You know, I don't know if you remember, but and I doubt if you do, Apple was founded in 1976 by Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and Ronald Wayne. You should remember Ronald Wayne. Why? Because 2 weeks after they founded the company, he got out. He sold his 10% ownership for $800 and got out. He was worried about taking on too much debt, too much responsibility for the company's debt. So the new venture's first customer was a Bay Area computer store called the Byte Shop, B-Y-T-E, Byte Shop, which ordered 50 Apple I computers. And they had to borrow like $15,000 to make those computers. And, of course, the company grew that. So that was in 1976. In 1980, it went public. It was 4.6 million shares that went public at $22 a share. That day, it closed at $29 a share. Okay, and just so you know, the IPO made millionaires of 300 people, several Apple employees. And, of course, Jobs, what? I think it was $200 million. So, fast forward today. How much do you think $1,000 invested back then would be worth today? Remember, Apple's now, well, I don't know if it's today, but it was the first company to reach $1 trillion. It fell back from that, but as a market cap. How much? Well, it's $500,000. And that includes price appreciation and dividends. Okay? So, the thing I find so most interesting is that $800 price tag that Ronald Wayne sold. If he had kept it, by the way, if he kept that 10% ownership, he'd be worth $70 billion. Poor guy. Maybe next time when it rolls around. Okay. I thought that was pretty interesting. So, you know, these deals come around and people, you don't know which ones are the best ones, which ones will fail. And I can understand why he was nervous. Yeah, you know, it depends on where he was in life at that time. So, but you do have to, when you're young, that's the time to take chances. You need to take some risks. You know, most people don't. So, anyway, I encourage you to reach out to Justin or myself at KPP Financial. You can call our Data Point office. Or send me a message, email through investtalk.com so we can maybe take a look at your portfolio, help you manage your money, talk about our different programs. I invite you to be a part of the question and answer period. You can call right now, 888-99-CHART. I'm Steve Peasley, and you know, you can check out our Invest Talk Academy, our online classes. It started last week. We'll have another class. Next class is me. Up Thursday, and we're going to talk about moving averages and charting and what the moving averages mean. InvestTalkAcademy.com to sign up there if you wish. 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. We're going to go to Dennis in Richmond. Hi, Dennis. How
are
you doing?
Thank you for taking my call. Got a question for you. What do you know about private equity? I've got...
They scare me. How's that?
Okay.
You know, there's obvious reasons. Private equity means that someone's trying to produce money to build a company, to run a company, to manage a company, and their idea is eventually to take it public. When it does, you as a private equity investor, you're buying shares while it's private.
Right.
In the company. And while it's private, you know, it's what's its value? Its value, whatever, maybe the company's worth something, maybe it's not. It's hard to know because you got to find someone else to buy it from you, you personally. But once it goes public, you can cash in big, and that's the whole attractiveness of it.
Uh-huh.
So why? You have someone to offer you a private equity thing, Dennis?
Yeah.
I get those all the time.
Yeah.
You're going to do it?
Well, I haven't decided yet.
The biggest thing on these, Dennis, is do you know the people? Do you trust the people? If you don't know them, I would walk away. If you know them very well and you know all about that business, then you have special knowledge, then you could do it.
Yeah.
But they are so good. The brochures and everything looks so good. And I would run the other way if these are just out of the blue and you don't, you know, that someone just found you. Run.
Right. Well, I have to get my running shoes then.
Okay. I've just seen too much of this stuff go sour. That's why. Just too much. I'd say 9 out of 10. Go bad, you lose all your money.
Yep.
But that
one
tenth, that one, you could be a multimillionaire. That's the why it's why it's attractive sometimes.
Okay. I don't think my luck is that good.
Yeah, I'd run.
Okay.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate the call.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Bruce in Chula Vista. How you doing, Bruce?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, and I appreciate your call.
I'm 27. I'm a U.S. Marine here in San Diego. My wife, she's 26. We have a little bit of extra money here that we can invest, let's say, for our retirement, for like Roth IRA, which people have been recommending that for us to do. I've heard, too, that if you invest in a Roth IRA, especially if you don't have any experience, they invested in mutual funds. But supposedly, mutual funds, well, it's not a great return because the way they do it, I guess they trade the good stocks and keep the bad ones. Am I totally lost here?
A little bit, Bruce, but the concept is very good. And Bruce, first of all, let me say thank you for serving the country. You know, Marine, man, that's a tough thing to be. You have to go through a lot. I have a cousin who's a Marine. I have also a brother-in-law who is a Ranger, an Army Ranger. I know what you guys have to go through. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now, Bruce, you got to start a Roth IRA. You're 27 years old. You're a young guy. Your wife's probably a young woman. If you do it now, you'll be rich by the time you retire. If you just put money away in a Roth IRA. And
okay.
Yes, a mutual fund, there are good and bad mutual funds. That's the difficult part, Bruce.
Okay.
So the question is, you just got to find a good one. I don't mind helping you. If you want to call me at the office, you don't have to hire me. I'm not talking about it. I will give you some names, okay, and say, here's a few names to invest in. These have great managers. There's no commissions. You don't pay anybody. You can open up direct with them, an IRA, and there's no cost. If you don't mind giving me a call in the office, I'll give you some names and phone numbers and stuff.
Perfect.
Because mutual funds are what's called prospectus items. You're supposed to get the prospectus, which nobody reads. You know, I can't recommend anything on the air. That's the problem.
Awesome.
Okay, here's my number. 800-557-5461.
5461.
And you just asked for me.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks a lot, and we appreciate there. And I really do appreciate the Marines. Thank you very much. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peason, and I'll remind you of a policy phrase we display on InvestTalk homepage. The InvestTalk commitment to reason and common sense guide, you know, guidance by us will help make you a better investor. We promise that. And I thank you for listening, everybody. I really do. The phone lines are open, and I'm ready for your questions. 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-992-4278, today's main talking point, everybody. the phenomena of spending more money once you begin to make more money. And I have personal experience with this since I started off pretty poor, made a lot of money, and thank goodness I stopped spending it. But it's called How Lifestyle Creep Can Ruin Your Future. We're going to talk about that. Some of the other topics I want to talk about today. How about the Federal Reserve today? They came out after their meeting and said they're not changing rates. Yippee-yay. Well, I want to talk about that. Did you see that 30-year mortgage rates are at an 8-year high? I want to discuss property mortgages. One of the reasons I like talking about property is because it is a good storage of wealth for a lot of people in the United States. So it's a very good topic to stay on top of. And finally, something that no one is ever even talking about. Is that across anybody's mind? I haven't seen any reports or news articles on it. Government shutdown. You know, we have a new election in which the Democrats control the House and the Republicans control the Senate. And no one's talking about a government shutdown. You got a couple of days coming up that are going to be pretty important. And I could see it being used as a football here to try to win, score points here for either side. Those are what we're going to talk about. Of course, you drive the show. I do not. You do with your questions. So please call. Let's go to George on Aliso Viejo. How are you doing, George?
Question about international markets. Do they run a cycle like we have in the United States, like the Christmas rally or the presidential?
They used to be very, very much tied to our markets, but they're getting less and less so. They do not have the Christmas cycle, other than us forcing them to the Christmas cycle. Remember, especially the international markets and in emerging markets in Asia, they're not...
Yeah, well, no, I realize. I didn't mean specifically the but I meant do they have other cycles?
Other cycles, I see.
Similar to that.
They haven't been around long enough, most of them, to have developed those kinds of things. Our market's been, it's old, and it's demonstrated years and years and years of cycles, whereas theirs has not been. And theirs is tied much more to their economy, their growth of commodities and farm, because they're still in their infancy as a market.
Yeah, I know. I see that one of the India funds I watched would go up a couple, 3 weeks, it'd be up 20-25%, and the next time it's down 15, it's like, whoa, it's kind
of a roller coaster.
Yeah,
that's right, George. George has hit the nail on the head. They can be, these emerging markets can be very volatile, and they are. Individual stock, up and down 3% one day, and down, up, down, and 3% day to day to day is not unusual for them.
Yeah,
so you got to be prepared for that if you're going to buy these ADRs.
Yeah.
Boy, can it be a roller coaster, George. You're right on there.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, George. We're going to go to Jimmy in San Ramon. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Steve. I'm a new listener.
Great.
New to this whole investing thing. I actually have an investment set up with my union, but I've been looking to spend maybe $1,000 and get into my own stocks, building my own stuff, and I was wondering what you thought would be a good one to get into with that smaller amount of money.
Well, just to let you know, we can answer questions, but I can't give you recommendations. How old are you?
24.
This is a great time to start thinking about it because the market over time will give you, 10%. That's what it's done over time for the last 7,500 years.
Mm-hmm.
10% return. The question is that a lot of people don't get that return because they have no clue what they're doing. One of the problems that most people do have is they let their emotions get involved with their decision making.
Mm-hmm.
When they see their prices are going down and the stock market's crashing, they get out. You gotta look longer term. When they see the market going up and just up, 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 they put more money into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if you really wanna be successful, when you are at your saddest and you feel like you just wasted money putting in the market, that's when you put more in.
Uh-huh.
And when you're at your happiest, that you're making a ton of money over the years, and look at this stock, my stocks went up the last 6 months to 100%. Sell. Get out. Take some profits. You play your own emotions that way, you'll be a lot better off. So the one thing you need to do is figure out how to evaluate stocks. How to determine whether this is a stock that's overpriced or is this stock on sale.
Uh-huh.
Stick with the price of stocks that are on sale, but at the same time, those same on-sale stocks, you want to be in an uptrend on a chart. In other words, the stock has been moving up consistently for a while. That's how you pick stocks.
Uh-huh.
If you give me a call, I will be happy to give you some value methods that are not very difficult. Uh-huh. And then on the websites, there's a ton of places. One of the easiest way to evaluate a stock, and I'm going to give it to you right now, is take next year's growth rate of a stock, multiply that times its earnings estimates by the experts for next year. Remember, stocks look forward, not backward. So if the earning for next year is going to be a dollar per share, it's always a per share issue. If the earnings is going to be a dollar per share next year, and it's growing at 20% a year, multiply 20 times a dollar, and the stock price fair value is about $20.
Sounds good.
Okay?
Great.
Good luck, and you'll love it. I started at 21. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-99-CHART, tomorrow on Invest Talk. Does the average telecommuter earn more salary than the in-office worker? Seven jobs you can do from home to earn more than $75,000. That's tomorrow. I'm Steve Peasley. I'm ready to take your questions. 888-99-CHART.
To win, all effective investors use a process. And listeners call Invest Talk every day asking to share our winning process. And they too can win using the right analytical tools. Just what do we use as our everyday go-to research tool? YCharts. It's a cloud-based financial research platform. It is indispensable.
YCharts has the powerful tools of a terminal combined with the ease of use of a modern website. We use YCharts every day.
YCharts is easy to navigate, visually awesome, and informative. YCharts has filters driven by thousands of metrics, Excel integration, and data visualization to create charts that compare stocks, funds, indices, and more.
If you're a serious investor, you'll understand that the precision functionality in YCharts is not free. But YCharts has more horsepower and by far better data and filters compared to giveaway tools from Yahoo or Google. YCharts is a fraction of the cost of something like Bloomberg Terminal.
And now our listeners can try YCharts for free.
You just heard Steve and Justin endorse YCharts. It's the lightning-fast research, data filter, and charting tool they use every day for their investment portfolios. Think about it. Steve is right. Free software cannot come close to the power, speed, ease of use, and practical functionality of YCharts. And serious investors understand that YCharts can pay for itself with just one or two targeted investment selections. So here's your chance to take advantage of a free trial and a generous YCharts discount. Start by mentioning InvestTalk when you go to YCharts.com. Get serious. Get YCharts.
Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Okay, today's main talking point is about the phenomena of lifestyle creep that can ruin your future. And it's not just related to professional athletes, even though they are, you know, very susceptible to this. So the average consumer out there, when you start to make more money, you start to spend more money. It's normal. Okay, there was a 2020 segment on ABC in 2009, after the stock market crash in 2008, where this big-time hedge fund manager that they caught up with him, who was making $750,000 a year, was delivering pizzas. Because of this lifestyle creep. He was spending money like crazy, bought a house way bigger than he needed, took lavish trips, super lavish lifestyle. Now the house is at foreclosure and on. That's lifestyle creep, where you're spending more and more money because you're making more and more money, and you don't stop. You don't stop until you run out. Now, 78% of NFL football players, and remember I mentioned on this show that I have a nephew who was his rookie year this year. 78% of NFL players 2 years after they retire are broke. Within 5 years of an NBA player, 60% of those people are broke. These people make millions of dollars. My nephew making millions of dollars. But they're broke 2 years after an NFL career ends and 5 years That's 78% of those people are broke, and 5 years for MBA, 60%. I have personal experience with this because when I started being self-employed way back when I was 30 years old, I started making a lot more money, and I spent it. I spent a lot of it. I still invested it and still, you know, did things with it, but even my investments got to a point where I was investing in stupid things, thinking I was going to make more money. So there was a point where I had to really bring it back to earth, okay? And luckily, you know, I have a very supportive wife, and we started spending dramatically less than we earned for a number of years because we got carried away. It's easy, especially if you've never had any money in your life, which I didn't. And it's easy, you know, to go out to dinner every night, get, you know, season tickets to, you know, baseball games. I mean, it's easy. And that's what happens. You don't take care of the things you need to take care of, and that is to ensure that you can have a comfortable retirement, that you can live off the assets, because that's the key here, figuring out how to stop spending more than you earn and not continue to increase your spending when you earn more. That means you should save more. It's a hard lesson to learn. It's hard. I'm not trying to say that, well, you people should do it because, you know, I did it. No, I didn't start off doing it. No, I fell right into the same trap. It's very common and easy to do. Tomorrow's Invest Talk. Does the average telecommuter earn more salary than an in-office worker? 7 jobs you could do to earn more than $75,000 from home. Kind of like that. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. James in Sonoma, how you doing, James?
I'm interested in your comments on closed-end bond funds, particularly the BlackRock funds, only because I have, it's for an IRA, and I have absolutely almost zero bonds in my IRA or in my retail account, and I'm getting a little nervous like everybody else is. I'm the same age you are, and... And I'm just sort of interested in your general comment on closed-end bond funds.
54 years old, a closed-end bond fund. A closed-end bond fund means that he's looking for income from that, the dividend yield, and is the dividend yield supported by the price, all those kinds of things. A closed-end bond fund means, since closed-end, means that it can sell at a premium or a discount to the value of the bonds inside the fund. Okay, so it can be worth more or less, but you're really buying it for the dividend. And you'd like to buy it at a discount to the net asset value versus a premium to the net asset value because it's safer to do so. And if your question is, should you have one? I have no problem with having part of that being in your portfolio, but not a major part. At 54 years old, not a major part. If you're younger, I'd say have less. If you're older, I would say have more. As you get older, I would prefer to see either a mutual fund that's not closed in because it sells right at net asset value, depending on what the interest rates are going to do. If the interest rates are high, bond funds are great to buy. If interest rates are low, they're not so great to buy.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Lynette and Sam Bruno. How are you doing, Lynette?
Oh, fine. Thank you. I really enjoy listening to your program. I listen to it on a daily basis.
Thank you.
The question I have today is, through a divorce settlement, I received a profit-sharing plan through my ex-husband. He's self-employed, and I rolled it over into an IRA.
Good.
It is in cash. I was wondering if I'm not allowed to add any more to it. Can I take that cash within an IRA and invest it in stocks, or do I have
to? You can invest that IRA in almost anything you want. It would be difficult to buy property. Not impossible to buy property, but difficult. There's lots of rules. But you can, like, buy mutual funds with it. You can buy a CD with it. You can buy stocks. You can buy ETFs. You can buy bonds. Mm-hmm. You can do anything you want.
Oh, good. I don't have to keep it in cash then.
No, you do not. And how old are you, Lynette?
59 and a half.
Okay. When do you start to need to take the money?
When I'm 70.
Okay. You don't think you need it before then?
No.
Perfect. Then what you want to do is hire somebody like me or do it yourself and buy stocks or mutual funds.
I see.
Because you have a good long time, 9 years or so. Mm-hmm. And the market, almost in any 10-year period, the stock market is higher from this day. 10 years from now, the stock market will be higher. And if you want to talk about it more, Lynette, just call me at the office. I'll be happy to talk to you about it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lynette. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we stream and broadcast Invest Talk live in the 4 o'clock hour Pacific time each weekday, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can call and ask your questions. We'll leave it on our listener line number. Anyways, you also can download the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And then we'd like you to review us as well, you know, rate and review us. Now the lines are open. We are taking your financial investing questions live, 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk, made possible by KPP Financial, where they are committed to reason and common sense guidance. And that can help make you a better investor. And this philosophy is implemented for KPP clients and across all InvestTalk platforms, broadcast radio, live streaming, podcast replays, plus the KPP premium newsletter, InvestTalk webinars, and the new online training class, InvestTalk Academy. Principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein have over 60 years of combined experience in portfolio and money management. You can reach out to Steve or Justin by calling their Dana Point, California KPP Financial office or by sending them a message through investtalk.com. The Invest Talk radio and podcast continues now. The phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Okay, let's talk about the Federal Reserve. They announced today that they're going to leave rates the same after their two-day meeting. Remember, they have two-day meetings of the Fed every four to six weeks, and then they decide what they're going to do. Many times they decide to do nothing. Do they have to have it every 4 to 6 weeks? No. 10 to 20 years ago, they decided they were going to be a lot more transparent, and so one of the things they did was start to set up these meetings on a very regular basis. And then they then announce what they're going to talk about and what they're going to do and what they're thinking. Before, there used to be kind of secret meetings, and that was about it. They knew they had the meetings, but they wouldn't really talk about it. Anyways, they left the rates alone. The rates are 2 to 2.25. This rate, remember, they only control one interest rate, one. No other rates are they control. They control the rate that the Federal Reserve loans money to banks, what they charge banks to borrow money from the Federal Reserve. That's the only rate they control. The banks take that money and they lend it to you and me at whatever rate they can get, whatever we'll pay them. They don't control the treasuries, how much, you know, interest they pay. No other rate is controlled by the Federal Reserve. Okay? They're also there now. After they didn't change their speech at all, other than they said that in that corporate investment in their companies has fallen off a little bit. That's the only thing they kind of changed in their statement. And just so you know, there's an 80% chance, according to the survey, that they will be raising a rate in December. In December, there's going to be another meeting then, and the Federal Reserve still says that they're going to continue to raise rates slowly. Also, everybody thinks they raise rates at 0.25% per meeting when they do raise rates. That's just because they decided to do that. They can raise the rates a lot higher than that. They can raise a half a point in a meeting. They can raise it a point, a whole percentage point. They've just been doing it. You're getting to the point, you, me, the public, we're getting to the point where we just expect them to do that. And they guided us to that. They're the ones that told us to expect it. But they don't have to. I just want to make sure you understand that. That's just what they've been doing in their recent campaign, recent meaning the last 10, 15 years, to be more open and straightforward about what they're doing. 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Now, let's go talk to Paul in Alameda. How you doing, Paul?
Great. How you doing, Steve?
Good. Thanks for calling.
My question was about ethical investing, whereas, you know, me being an investor, coming to money managers like KPP, Schwab, Fidelity, whomever, mm-hmm. and saying, I don't want to do business with China because of, you know, my personal reasons, or companies that sell
or maybe don't want to do tobacco companies or arms company, military companies that provide bombs.
Is that possible, or is it just too convoluted to ferret that out?
We at KP Financial would not let you have that opportunity. We would not. But there's a lot of money managers that would be happy to have those kind of restrictions. Those guys will manage your money as an individual only. We have programs that we put you in that we all invest. Jerry and I invest our money right alongside your money. And we will invest where we think is best to invest. There are money managers, though, that will live within those parameters, Paul. So don't think you can't find that if you have that need. Okay, but yeah, there are people who do it quite often. They'll not invest in a list of, you can tell them, I don't ever want to see Disney in my portfolio. Okay, they'll do it.
Yeah, something like Disney's fair enough. It's just, you know, like I said, you know, maybe companies that don't pollute the water or something like that.
Yeah, I had a prospective client with a doctor, and she refused to have tobacco companies, certain drug companies, and she was listing all these things, parameters that she didn't want to invest in. And, you know, I had to turn her down because I said, well, our system won't let us do that. I can't, like, pick you out and say, okay, don't buy this or that person. When we might be buying, you know, Eli Lilly, and she may not like something that Eli Lilly does. I don't know. So we couldn't do that. But there are registered investment advisors, money managers that will take that in consideration. Yes.
Okay,
thanks
great.
For the call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is Invest Talk.
Let's go talk to Todd in Lakeside. How you doing, Todd?
Oh, good, Steve. How about yourself?
Good. How's it out there in Lakeside?
It's a good deal. Like
good.
It.
Yep, it's a nice area.
You know, Steve, I had a couple of questions, but for one thing, I guess I'm struggling a little bit on trying to figure out the value of stocks.
How to project the value of a stock?
Yes.
Okay, this is how you do it. I'm going to give you two methods, Todd, and none of these methods are perfect, so don't always think they're perfect. They're not.
Right.
One method is good for medium-sized companies, not too good for really large companies and not too good for really small companies, but in the middle, the bulk of the companies out there. You use the earnings per share estimates for next year, and you multiply that times the growth rate of the earnings per share. So let's say the earnings per share this year is $1, and the earnings per share next year is $1.20. That's a 20% growth rate, right?
Okay.
You take that 20, multiply it times $1.20, okay? And that gives you a projected price for that stock. Now, if the stock is selling below that amount, that's what you want. If it's selling above that amount, it might be overpriced. Now, it doesn't work for very large companies because they don't grow very much.
Okay.
Now, it can be if the company was just beat up to smithereens price-wise, and they're only growing 8%, let's say. You know, let's say they're Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola can grow, what, 10% a year maybe? And Microsoft, these big, huge companies can't grow. But if they get beat up enough, the valuations will work. Now, the other good way to use, okay,
hang on, let me back you up for a second, though. You say the earnings per share for this year and next year, is that all four quarters combined? Average?
Yes.
Okay.
All the four quarters, the whole year. How much is the whole year going to be worth?
Okay.
And the other method is to look at the P.E. ratio range for this, the company, that the target company you're looking at for the last 5 years. And let's just say the range is 10 to 30. Then you take next year's earnings per share, multiply that times 10, and then also multiply it times 30. And then you get the range of the price of the stock should trade at. And if it's at the very low end of the range or below that end of the range, that's a buy.
Okay.
Okay, now you just look at a chart and decide where you want to buy it.
Right. I'll have to play around with that one a little bit.
This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Our Thursday show is wrapping up soon. We still have about 10 minutes, so give us a call. We want to talk to you. Give us a call. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk.
Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's go to Bill in Pleasanton. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing good. You?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
I have one mutual fund that's down about 40%. Mm-hmm. That's the meltdown. And it was down, and I just got the quarterly report, and it was down another 8%. You changed to a different fund, or?
Well, what's the description of the fund?
It's a Century Growth Fund.
Okay. Then what you want to do is you want to compare it. Go to Morningstar.com and compare it, that particular fund, with all other growth funds. Now, if it's a large cap, small cap, I don't know, mid cap, you need to know that is a large cap fund, growth fund. Then look at all large cap growth funds. If they were down 50% and yours was down 40, I know that's bad. You hate it, and I hate it too. But if it outperformed its peer group, you want to stick with it. If the first quarter this year, the peer group is down 12% and yours is down 8, you kind of want to stay with it. I know that doesn't sound good, does it? It doesn't feel good. Doesn't sound good. But Bill, long term, if it's outperformed on the downside, hopefully it's outperformed on the upside as well. And it should make a very good comeback if it's better than the rest of its peer group.
Oh, yes. It's done very well for me. I'm
going to suggest you give it another year. And as long as I'm same managers there, Bill, in other words, he didn't leave and now you got some rookie there. Time to leave if that's the case.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Thane in Antioch. Hi, Thane. How you doing?
Good. I had a general question for you.
Sure.
My mom has entrusted me with $50,000. Her net worth is probably about $200,000.
Okay.
But she wants me to do some conservative, you know, so I was thinking some dividend paying stocks, and, you know, she wouldn't mind if that 50 dropped to 45 or something, but if it dropped much more, she'd probably start getting a little bit nervous on me.
Okay. Conservative. You really shouldn't use the word conservative and individual stocks in the same sentence.
Okay. You know,
now, there are less risky stocks than risky stocks. I will give you that. But the word conservative probably is the wrong term. Let's talk about what would be good for your mom. I would suggest large dividend-paying stocks, like you have just suggested. Stocks that we know do not go down too much, don't go too up too much, they're kind of staying the same. If you do me a favor, make sure you get about 10 or 15 different stocks.
Okay.
Of this nature.
Is that against the rules?
Yeah, you know that 3% rule. Thane, if you give me a call in the office tomorrow, I'll be happy to give you some names.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind helping people where I can help them. But I can't give names out over the air and just do these. It's just, if you ask me a question about a stock, I'll be happy to answer it.
The couple I was thinking was maybe GE and Merck and Pfizer.
Those are all well-known, big companies. But these stocks can be volatile, though. Don't think they can't.
Yeah.
These are big, solid companies. They're not going away, but they will move around on you. Thanks, Thane. Appreciate the call. Mortgage rates, 8-year high. 8-year high today, as reported last week anyways. The 30-year fixed mortgage is 4.52%. And you know, just so you know, that 30-year fixed mortgage moves in line with the 10-year Treasury bond. They don't move exactly the same time, but they move together. Okay, so why is that important? Why am I talking about it? Because it goes to people's perception of their wealth, goes to the psychology of what they're dealing with. When prices of housing goes down, people start to get a little bit worried, a little bit more cautious, and keep their wallet in their purse or their pocket. They tend to spend less. Pricing of homes seem to be here in the Southwest, at least, to be topping. And that's been evidenced here in the last few months. So mortgage rates are rising. Of course, that probably is one of the causes for the topping. You talk to the experts and you listen, read, and you'll hear that that's not what they're not blaming the higher rates, which frankly I think is wrong. I think the higher rates is having its effect. They're basing it on too expensive a house. They're more on the cost of the house itself is too much. Well, doesn't that relate to the mortgage rate too? Because remember, you buy a house and it's how much monthly payment you can afford. So that's what we're seeing the housing market. And the housing market is that first little flag out there, at least in the summer, that something is not right, that maybe our economy is not as strong as we all think it is. But it is very strong. It's just a little flag warning out there. That's all it is. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. And I thank you for your loyal support and questions. Thank you to all the podcast listeners. I do appreciate it. Remember, you can check out YCharts. It's one of our sponsors on our podcast. I appreciate that, too. You can get a discount if you just mention our name, InvestTalk. Justin and I use that chart all the time. Have a nice evening, everybody, and thanks for listening. Good night.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.